North South Connection proudly presents TNA Never Dies. Now, cross the line with your hosts, Aaron, Jenny, and JT.
Why do I have to feel sad right away when I'm watching this show?
Even more than normal?
Comes naturally, right? Mm.
Well, hold on. There's two different types of sadness, right?
Because
the sadness watching the show isn't the same as the sadness for the build up to watching the show.
Right.
Because that's a lot of like, what am I doing with my time? Why am I not spending time with my children?
But what about the sadness after you've watched the show?
Like, I've wasted all this time. What am I doing with my life?
I'm usually too angry at the end of the show. Like, it's a different feeling, right? Like, I'm like more like, oh, I'm so fucking tired. But the problem with at the end is, I'll be honest, it's not sadness at the end because I'm always relieved when it's finished.
Right. True.
So it's like, oh, okay, good. It's done. One more done. But this one, like, so I'm sad in the prep and I got to feel sad because not only is it a tribute to poor Kurt Hennig, but the only picture they're allowed to show is a shot of Hennig from TNA.
Now, I don't know if that's all they're allowed to show. I would say that's all they wanted to probably show because he was just there.
JT, what's your best NWA TNA Kurt Hennig moment?
I mean, it wasn't that interview where he looked like he was going to die. Honestly, the whole run was sad because, I mean, we knew he was dying soon, but even if you didn't, like, watching him, it did not look good. You know what I mean? Like, the poor guy was clearly not in good shape. I think there was that one show he had a pop.
The first show, maybe.
Would that be yours also, Jenny?
Probably so, yeah. Right in the beginning when we were a little bit excited to see him.
Yeah, that first night.
Set in, yeah. Mm.
I think it was that first night when he got a good pop. It was like, oh, cool, Kurt Hennig's here. And then you realized how fucking sad looking he was. And then remember, he just kept doing the, okay, this is turning into shitting on him. But it was just like, also, he was talking about Brock and the plane ride and all that shit.
Oh, God, yeah. I took out Brock Lesnar. Yeah, that shit. Ugh.
It was sad. It sucked. The run was not good. And it was tough to watch to see him in that state. And then seeing this did not help either. Like, it was, and honestly, I thought they did a nice job. I know you're joking about the picture, but the boots in the ring and the picture on the chair.
Whose boots are those, though?
Kurt's, obviously.
You think they got a pair of Kurt's boots?
Of course they did.
Where did they get them from?
He left them there.
Michael McGillicuddy.
Michael McGillicuddy showed up backstage with boots. Guys, put these boots in the ring for my dad.
I would say there's a chance he had not even had his own boots there and borrowed someone's because he forgot his own. And then whatever boots he had borrowed, they put in the ring.
So they're not his boots. They're boots once worn by Kurt Hennig.
The boots with the fur.
It's so insane to me that he finishes his career here.
I know.
Yeah.
Do you think if he would have cleaned himself up, he would have been a boon to the business going forward?
Yeah, I mean, Boone. I think so.
See, I made sense of it. You see?
Yeah, I think he could have been a benefit. I just don't know if he was ever going to get there, though. Like, you never heard much about him. I don't think he would have been, like, a booker or an agent. Like, you never heard much about him doing that role, even as, like, a veteran. I do think if he had his act together, he could have been, like, a trainer.
Yeah.
Like I could see him opening his own school. Yeah, something like that. I think that's where he probably would have landed.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know why. I think it might be because of our Royal Rumble podcast. But now I always associate him with the Big Boss Man for whatever reason. And my buddy today told me.
Team 91.
Team 91. Yeah, that's right. My buddy today told me he's looking into buying a house in Cobb County, Georgia.
Oh.
Oh, boy.
I told him to read the signs, and he got it, so I felt confident.
Respect the law and order.
Yeah, otherwise, you know what's going to happen. So last Wednesday, when they tell us they kept the cameras rolling, okay, and Vince Russo crossed the line by whipping the man who said he was his best friend.
Yes, with a belt.
Yeah, and then Tanay apologizes for the language you're going to see. And so you got Raven beating up Double J. They tie up Jarrett, and they start to whip him. And the only language I noticed was West screaming, "That's from medieval days!" Yes. Is that the bad
language? I did hear a F-bomb at some point, because I have a note about it. Yeah, so.
In what context?
Fuck bomb by West.
Was it like, fuck me, Jarrett?
I don't know. I do not recall. Probably.
Jesus Christ, Jarrett, fuck me!
Fuck Tanay!
You're not fucking me tonight, Don. Don West must like be so grateful when he has an orgasm.
Like, who isn't though?
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, he's just so excited about everything. So when you put that excitement on top of a legitimately exciting thing,
I like it.
Yeah, like, please take that shiny shirt off, Don, if you're gonna scream like that. Glenn Gilberti is wearing some sort of camo flight attendant, like, pants/skirt. I don't even know. They show the straps, like, strapping Jarrett in slow motion. His back is red. Jenny, what's the reddest you've ever made someone's back?
Ooh. Bloody? Is that red enough?
Did you make someone's back bloody?
Yeah, I beat my son really hard one time.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Well done.
I think you should qualify that as a joke.
Do I have to, though?
You might want to. It's the want here that you might want to. I was once in a McDonald's, and there was a dude who wasn't wearing a shirt, which already irked me.
Ugh, McDonald's?
Yeah, McDonald's. He's in line in front of me, and he had a really bad sunburn, and I was 17 and fucking stupid, so I slapped him as hard as I could in the back. And ran.
Oh, he should have beat your ass.
And he went, "Coolest!" Which is a French swear word. But as he said it, he jetted his elbows like towards his back with the syllables. He screamed so loud, and you could see the white hand immediately. And then I ran outside, and then I saw a kid get hit by a car.
You're the worst.
I know. Well, the kid was fine, but his head hit the pavement. It was like a, like, his head did like a on the pavement. Like, and it was all in slow motion. Like, the car kind of hit his bike, and he went up on the hood, but then fell like head first. And then the guy got out of the car and was like, "Don't sue me, please." Like, there was no actual empathy going
Karma
on.
Karma missed you, right? It missed you for the sunburn slap. And it got that kid on the bike.
It's like, oh, Karma had a bow and arrow, but he's just learning how to use it. Oh, anyway,
there's a lot wrong with
you. You gotta watch your back. Just saying.
I know. I probably deserve a slap in the back. And it became a rule amongst my friends that if you were caught without a shirt where you should have been wearing a shirt, people were allowed to slap you in the back.
Now, see, I can get on board with that.
Hey, but it became a thing.
Yeah, especially at McDonald's. That's ridiculous. Grow up.
So. Oh, well, yeah, put a shirt on at McDonald's. And if you're going to have a sunburn, expect to be slapped. There's a dramatic shot of Jeff Jarrett staring at the NWA title. We're kicking it off with Mike Tanay this week in the ring. And he's like, "I have a big announcement for Bob Armstrong." And as he pauses in his speech, there's a very clear, "Suck it, Tanay!" heard from the crowd.
Was that you? Was that like was that a time traveling Aaron?
I bent my words through time and space. JT, what would you yell at Mike Tanay if you were in the crowd there?
Do you like pina colada? No. Ask him why he's so mad.
The Vince Russo. That's the answer you'd get. Bob Armstrong is taking a leave of absence because everything that's going on now is too personal. The NWA is like on a search for a qualified replacement. And all I'm saying is, it better not be the fucking taxi guy, like Burt Prentice. I don't want to see that guy running the company.
I think you meant Andy Kaufman or Judd Hirsch.
Judd Hirsch, the star of Dear John.
And Taxi. Wasn't he a taxi?
Yeah, he was, but wasn't Dear John just the story of a guy who got dumped by his wife?
Yes. Yep.
that's the whole premise for the sitcom. His wife left him and left him a note.
Yeah, I never actually sat and watched Taxi. I think it was in the MASH bucket to me, where the song was kind of depressing, and I thought it was like a sad show as a kid. Yeah. But I feel like I feel like I want to watch that before I die. Taxi, like, it gets a lot of love, and I love Andy Kaufman.
Well, and Danny DeVito's in it too.
Yeah, and Tony DeVito. Danza. It's got a loaded cast.
Yeah, well, that's the only time Tony Danza and loaded cast have been used in a sentence together.
Come on, what's wrong with Tony?
Well, he's fine, but he's not the boss. There's a high-ranking executive going to take over from WWF and WCW, the brains behind the Four Horsemen, and it's J.J. Dillon announced. Jenny, can you describe the crowd reaction that J.J. Dillon got?
Crickets, man. Zero. Negative pop.
Yes, yeah. It was a lack of reaction. It was just the opposite of reaction.
It was so cringeworthy.
Yeah.
It's the SummerSlam 96 double strut from Zip and the fucking Phineas Godwin got a bigger pop than this J.J. Dillon coming out.
Did Brian Christopher showing back up in 2011 get a bigger pop than this?
Yes.
Yes. The ghost of Brian Christopher would
get he was alive in 2011.
Barely.
I mean, like, he's on death's door, but the door was still closed. Before Dillon can take five steps, the bicycle bells start, and like everyone's like, oh, what's going on? Like, we haven't had this every episode. He's flanked by the David Dukes to his left and his right. Russo, right away, Russo's like, Dillon, you're a piece of shit. Right away. And he can't believe that he has the audacity to come here and confront him, because he tried to get Russo fired from WCW. JT, is J.J. Dillon the hero that we deserve?
I mean, I don't think we deserve him. I don't think we deserve to have to deal with him.
We deserve better.
I mean, I like J.J. Obviously, he was, you know, a very nice PTV podcast guest. But at this point,
Well, it's TNA, so what are you going to do?
Well, you could use Percy Pringle, who's just around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to listen to the fat man.
Last time we saw him, his head was cut open like a motherfucker, so he got no cred.
Well, but that's why he should come back. Like, with
actual power. Where's Colonel Parker? Is he dead?
No, he's probably doing something with his ginormous penis.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Can we get him instead?
Yeah. Can we just get his penis to run the shit?
Vince Russo wants it.
Ring that bell.
You get me that penis. As this is happening, I think a total of 8 people chant Russo sucks.
Yes. Like, it's
in a building with, I mean, there's not that many people in the building, but you'd think more than 8 would like get together. Right. And Russo says he likes him until he got to know him personally. He had his head so far up Vince's ass he couldn't breathe. Jenny, what is the appeal of J.J. Dillon besides the constant duck face?
The crossed arms.
The portly belly.
With the crossed arms on top of it.
Yes.
It never
they rest
right.
comfortably on top of his belly.
I just want to snuggle up on it.
Yeah, and I don't understand. Like, do you either of you know why Dillon just stands there and listens to Russo? Because isn't he in charge now?
All the people in charge just listen to Russo.
Right.
They have no control over this guy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Russo then buries another piece of shit, Kevin Sullivan, his go-to, like, insult. But, like, Russo's writing fucking sucked in WC. Like, JT, do you think he's just not aware? Like, does he think he's completely innocent, or is this a character
thing? I can't tell. Yeah, I can't tell, honestly, if it's, like, you know, he's doing it in, like, a self-deprecating way and kind of somewhat taking the blame, but not really. You know, like, it's hard to tell. I don't know, but he is, I don't know. And everything's personal with him. He takes everything personal. J.J. Dillon, you got me, attempted to get me fired. Like, yeah. All this fucking... I was the biggest fan. And then this other piece of shit, Kevin Sullivan.
Oh, man, Kevin Sullivan was potentially a piece of shit, right? Like,
well, he killed Chris Benoit's family.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Devil worshiper, too.
If someone else tells me to speed up one more time, I'll stick the mic up their ass.
Yeah, they give him a time cue. Like, we have to get on with the show, Vince. Like,
Jeff Jarrett took food off my table, of my kids' table, tried to put me out of business.
Yeah, and he wants an explanation before he sticks the two Heidriches after him, right? So at this point, Tanay has kind of like slithered down to J.J. Dillon. I don't know how he got there or when. Like, he just looks like a fucking weird he looks like a fat snake. Like, you know when a snake is eating something too big for its body? That's so Mike, maybe that's why Tanay's pissed. Maybe he ate something that won't fit out his rectum. And it's like years of forcing this shit. Like
was Don West semen.
I have been drinking Don West semen the past 30 episodes.
You gotta be kidding me!
Dillon says that Russo has selective amnesia. And when he quit on Vince, he did it in person. I didn't wait to call him at the last minute. Jenny, he's right, right? Is he right? Look what's happening.
Burn, sick burn. Of course he's right.
Yeah, not by much, though.
Well, I mean, he was, like... Russo was a kind of a prick calling him last minute to cancel, right? Like to quit, right?
But what are you going to do? Like, you know.
I don't know. Give notice?
In wrestling, do people do that typically?
I don't know. Like, yeah, like, and like, so Russo now has to like respond to this, but how can he respond as like an actual human being at this point? Because everything Dillon says is true and it's all bad behavior.
Yeah.
And none of this is like framed within like a wrestling context. So for instance, you know, like if you were like Vince Russo last week, you bludgeoned that guy with a chair and almost ended his life. In a wrestling context, you'd be like Russo could say, yeah, because he deserved it or whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
How do you justify being a bad employee on a wrestling show?
Yeah. I mean, well, then, like, Dillon then also buries Bischoff in this, too.
Yeah.
He says Bischoff is in charge. He triggered the wars and the money was incredible, but he wasn't a wrestling person. As far as that, he didn't realize about ratings and how profitable it was. Bischoff built the Titanic that could never sink, and there weren't enough lifeboats. And then Russo lays on the mat and starts napping.
Yeah.
As JJ. And then he wakes up and says, Titanic, I don't know about that. Every night in my dreams, I see you. I feel you. That's how I know you go on. CFR, Dillon, wherever you are, I believe Bret Hart will go on. Once more you open the door, there's Bret Hart. He will go on. You can't bury him, JJ. I went to you for a job. You got me in front of the white people for a pitch, but it was a big mistake.
The white people?
Well, yeah,
they are white.
That's turn right. of broadcasting. Speaking of white people, how come the Harris's?
Yeah. Well, wasn't Hank Aaron in the room for his hiring?
Well, he was watching Bill Watts piss off the balcony or whatever he was fucking doing.
Here's the thing is like, yeah, like, so Russo basically, so Dillon says that he got Russo the job at WCW, right? So why is Tanay not more angry with JJ Dillon also?
Ooh.
Well, he represents tradition.
Oh, all right. Fair enough. That's fair. Well, Jenny, were you surprised when Vince Russo went into that that weird poetry about the Titanic?
No, that seems right.
Yeah. Fit right into the show. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. I mean, I don't know why you think it wouldn't.
Yeah. So, like JT said, the Harris is sick on him, and then a man interferes, and West says, there he is, as though he's expected to be on the show. Jenny, were we supposed to be expecting the fucking Sandman to show up?
I think so. I don't – probably. I mean, I just expect any old wrestler to come out at this point, so not a shock.
Yeah, but why would they say there he is?
Well, maybe Tanay knew, like, he was backstage, you know, and it's kind of like, oh, here he is. We knew he was coming.
So is Sandman tradition now?
Yes, he's extremely tradition.
Extremely traditional. JT, how many extremely traditional diseases are coursing through his veins?
Just the one that makes your ball swollen, like Nicki Minaj's cousin.
Oh, Lord.
Just can't get the shot. They play the worst cover of Enter Sandman I've ever heard. and which is impressive.
You sure it wasn't Mr. Sandman?
Boom, 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 boom. That'd be the best if they played that for him in ECW a couple times to fuck with him. But, like, how do you fuck up covering that? Like, that's a song played by every cover band on God's green earth. Like, how do you not have a good...
the Motorhead one, like ECW used on that CD.
Mm-hmm. Time to play the game! There's no way... I don't understand how Lemmy sings more than two songs, because I just did that one note in his, like... Like, he's almost at Kane voice box level.
That CD was like, actually really good. It had a bunch of cool covers on it.
Yeah, the Walk one was good, too.
Yes, yes. It wore that out in college, that CD.
It's time to play the game.
Oh, my God.
I killed a girl when I was during Stick Shift. All right. So West
it's a pretty good debut, though. I thought it was a cool moment when it came out. He got a good pop. He got a bigger pop than J.J. Dillon.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And West is like, JJ lulled him in like it was some sort of master plan on JJ Dillon's part.
Of course.
Well, you know that they're, you know, partners.
Yeah. They're in cahoots.
Cahoots. Don West is also wearing a normal color shirt tonight. JT, did his wardrobe just get lost?
In the back of Tanae's Corolla.
Corolla.
I'm sorry, I think of a lame car that you were driving.
It's pretty good.
I drive a Corolla. It's not true, but it'd be good if it was. I drive a lamer car.
You should have told me that. I would have believed you.
I drive a Dodge
Stratus. I left my clothes in your 96 Corolla today.
I think I left my encrusted red shirt. Well, I mean, it's got to be full. Like it's a crispy sock. It's the crispy sock, but a crispy shirt. Okay, so there's a dude also flexing in a jacket behind them. I don't know why he's flexing his muscles in a full fucking jacket.
He's trying to bust out of it.
I guess. If he had driven through that, that would have been very impressive. I will concede to that. So now they have to talk about the state of the NWA Tag Team Championship belts, because there was that awful double pin the week before that I had forgotten about. Jenny, were you expecting them to address the tag team titles and not just switch to a shot of a woman's vulva?
No. I was hoping for a shot of a woman's vulva.
Okay.
So I was not disappointed at all.
But the non sequitur of it coming from, we got to talk about the tag team titles, to switching right to the vulva, that was par for the course.
You got to stay open. You got to stay open when you're watching these shows. Don't expect anything. Expect everything. Okay?
But is the vulva open, though? I think that's more my question.
It's open.
So there's a tournament, but let me understand this. So the tag titles are held up. So we're getting a tournament, but then the winners face Triple X. Why wouldn't it just be a match between the New Church and Triple X?
I got nothing.
It just feels like they were the teams that held the titles up, right? Why does one team not have to go through the tournament and the other one does?
That's traditional, bro. We're not about traditionals.
All right, good. Fair enough. So the Rock and Roll Express come out. They're fighting America's Most Wanted. I don't understand how the Rock and Roll Express are one of the teams in the title picture.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah. What kind of numbers do you guys think the Rock and Rolls have on their bedposts?
Oh.
Which one do you think's got more?
Morton.
Yeah.
It's all the selling and the lack of the wonky eye.
And Gibson feels like somebody's uncle, you know? He's like,
Gibson
okay.
Feels like the guy who watches the door while Morton bangs the rat.
Oh, shit. Yep.
Off on
Rick, table. Can I come to bed yet?
The story goes.
I'm really tired.
It's got to be in the thousands, though, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
It's not Ric Flair level, I guess.
Mm-mm, probably not. Well,
just every girl in Memphis between 1983 and whatever.
He's actually Brian Lawler's dad.
You mean Jerry Lawler's dad.
See, he wasn't my son. I knew it all along. Gibson's still wearing the dumbass NWA tights, even though they're not fighting for the NWA. Gibson tries to pull the rope down on Harris, and I don't understand how Harris does this. He manages to like hover on the top rope. Like, it's almost as though he just fell asleep lying on the top rope. Like, it's really this perfect little bit of magic that he just kind of lays there. JT, does the Rock and Roll Express hurt this division or help it?
They do both. So it helps it by giving it some depth and some veteran presence. And, you know, maybe they can have some younger teams get over. It hurts by feeling like you're going to put them in situations like this.
Right. Yeah, treat them as legitimate contenders.
Yeah. Because this is no bueno.
No. No, it's not.
Wrestling. Like, I think they could still kind of go, honestly. But not here at this point.
It just looks wrong. They're too old.
Too old.
They're too old. They fucked too many broads.
Like, the swerve for the swerve was so many.
They fathered more children than Genghis Khan.
We're all related to the fucking Rock and Roll Express.
The swerve was just stupid, because if you would have kept them on tradition side and like had them just as part of that crew fighting for the NWA, like that would have made just way more sense. They overthought this one by sticking them with Sex. It just was stupid.
Yeah. Tanay then talks about the Harrises having he's like, they have the ropes. They tied Jarrett to the ropes with last week. Like it's fucking part of the True Cross or something. When I was a kid, my dad told me that every church in the world had a small piece of the True Cross of Jesus.
What?
Why did he do this to me?
Wow.
Like, I mean, as a kid, you have no concept about how many churches there are, right?
Right, yeah.
Such a giant lie for no reason. Yeah, I can only believe it. Did he must have believed it. Jenny, should they have changed their name to The Rock and... Oh, I can't even read this. Hold on, let's proceed. Hold on, let's proceed as though we're gonna edit that out. All right, 3, 2. Jenny.
I hope we don't really edit that out.
I'm not going to. Hold on, we're gonna edit that part out. 3, 2. Jenny, for the first time, should they have changed their name to the Rock and Roll Sex Press?
For cock and
you
roll.
You worked that hard for that joke.
I know. So Storm has Morton beat with an awful reverse DDT. Gibson saves. Why do they have what's the slit on the back of the Rock and Roll shirt?
It's their vulva.
It's just the dancing vulva.
Like, are they under the impression that the anus is at the very base of the spine?
Why is it so large?
I've always wondered that. Like, is there a way to enlarge your anus so that you're not as constipated? Is that a thing that happens?
Yeah, you could stretch it for sure.
Okay, good.
At Brian Knobs, yes.
We've seen evidence of this stretch.
I feel like Brian Knobs has spent a lot of time with Colonel Robert Parker.
Hot.
Harris hits a perfect plex on Morton for the 3. Jenny, was this a nice tribute?
Nah, it was desperate, but it was fine.
Janae, Janae. Mm? Who's Janae?
Marty Janae.
It's a combination between Jenny and Mike today.
Oh, no. That's JT, a couple name. I don't like it.
We're going to edit that out. 3, 2. JT, was Mike Tanay's reaction to the tribute in any way appropriate?
I don't know. I don't even know where we're at, honestly. This is like...
So the match...
I feel like you mentioned, Charlie, this is like page 13 of like the... When you go to like Palm Sunday and they do the whole friggin' Passion of Christ, I'm completely lost in where we are. Look, the match.
You get lost in the Passion of the Christ. It's not that complicated a story.
So much. Nail
the guy to a cross. He comes back.
This is more to it. There's a lot of nuance. The match was not good, but I did like the final moments. AMW win easily. You get Loki coming out after. I don't know how much.
Baseball cap covering his whole face.
I don't know how much the Cock and Roll Express has in the tank here, but it's not here anyway, this match. Clunky, shaky, the crowd didn't care. Star and a half for me.
Yeah, I went two on that. I don't know why at all, but I feel like it was pretty standard, except for there was just too much bumping around by AMW. Like, they don't need to be selling these old fucks like they are. Like, give me a break on this.
Like, but they're one of their whores.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, I went.
But they were probably just like whatever. They're legends and, you know, young guys. Whatever. I don't know, but I feel like there's something about that in there.
Yeah, I went two also, and I couldn't tell you why.
Yeah, no idea.
Yeah, it's almost like I watched this 2 months ago. All right, Goldie is now in the parking lot with Vince Russo. She wants to know who or what he is waiting for. He shoves her face, which is, I mean, almost tame for this product, to be honest at this point.
For Goldie, Raven.
Yeah, it's Raven. Raven shows up, but knows nothing about the Sandman being there. And Goldie has the Chris Jericho whale spout in her hair. Then Raven decides to hide in the dressing room, and Sandman, like, so he comes in and Sandman kind of sees him and kind of starts chasing him, and Raven hides in the dressing room, and then Sandman just lights a smoke and walks away. Jenny, should he have been maybe a bit more persistent?
No, I think he's just teasing him, right? He's just playing with him till he's ready to beat him.
I guess. The Harrises come out looking worried at the Sandman. My question is, why don't all of the sex guys just come out and kick the shit out of the Sandman?
Because they do that extremely traditional. Other match.
I like how Russo assumes that all the ECW stars know it. It's like, you know, oh, do you know this guy? Because it's the same race or whatever. Like, that's what it feels like to me. It's like, oh, where's Sandman? You must know, Raven. You both were at ECW 5 years ago. You must know.
Oh, yeah, I've been keeping tabs on him for 5 years. All right, so the new church is fighting the Harrises. I don't know if either of you were ready for the DOA explosion that's about to happen. JT, does Brian Lee kind of look like a skinny Undertaker?
Maybe a shorter one.
A bit shorter. Dawn Harris seems to be wearing the Nazi singlet with a shirt on top. Mitchell has the eyebrows curved all the way up. Like, Jenny, do you ever think he said to a woman, look how hard my eyebrows are?
Oh, yeah, I hope so.
Do you think those eyebrows have been inside somebody?
Yes.
Now, would the rectum have to be stretched for them to go in, or?
No, it'd have to be real tight, right?
Tight, we got to jam those in. They'd probably feel like a really new toothbrush going in there. Or like one of those old STD tests from like 20 years ago where they put that thing in your penis. All right.
I'm sorry. What?
You don't know what that is?
Nope. Sure don't.
They used to put. Do you know what we're. Have you ever had one of those, JT?
Not pleasant.
No, it's like imagine a Q-tip, but rougher. And they would insert it in and out to test you for shit.
Like.
In the hole.
Not the anus, sadly. I'd rather take a James Mitchell eyebrow in my anus than another one of those things in my penis.
Did it feel kind of like when you put your finger in your belly button?
No, it's a different pain.
Okay. I just imagine that would equate for me.
Hold on. Let me describe that feeling. Yeah, it's like someone's flicking the knob of my penis, like hard, but not in a pleasant way. It's not a pleasant flick. It's weird. And now it's making me have to pee. So I don't want to.
What are we doing?
I feel like I'm dying.
You are.
Well, we're all dying slowly.
I am.
Mid-match today gets very interesting news. J.J. Dillon was sent to make an announcement before he was interrupted.
Oh.
Why else was he there if not to do that? And the announcement is that next week it's AJ versus Double J. Tanay got word from Dillon in the back, like Dillon got on the fucking headset. And tonight it's Raven versus the Sandman. Also, there's a match going on, and a tournament match, no less. And in one sentence, Tanay goes from saying, like, AJ and Double J is a match with months in the making. I don't even know. I'm really sorry. I don't know what any of this means.
Just make it up, baby. Just make it up.
In one sentence, Tanay says AJ and Double J was months in the making. And then in the other one, he said it will have been brewing for hours.
Raven Sandman.
Raven Sandman. That's it.
Because that's tonight.
Yeah. Then Tanae goes, I'm going to start talking about this all-important tag team title tournament match, but it's 6 minutes into the match. Lee is leveling people with big boots. JT, how long are Brian Lee's legs?
Not long enough to be as tall as The Undertaker.
Loki then interferes. The Harrises hit the H-bomb for the win. Jenny,
I hate them.
Yeah, could this have been a worse finish, Jenny?
No, it was... I love Slash in this match. I just love him anyway, but like,
yeah.
I was like, oh my God, they won. I can't even believe it. So that tells you something. Even worse than the previous match. God damn. I thought tournaments were supposed to get better as you go along.
Oh, JT, are we headed for a Triple X versus Harris's feud? Is that where this is going?
I don't know. I hate the fuck of Harris's. Like, just really? Ruin everything. They really just ruin everything. They suck here. Fuck them. Like, the church get hosed. They've been so good.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that sucks.
So good. I've really enjoyed it. Like, why are we fucking around and having them lose to these stupid assholes? I don't know. I want a star in 3/4, but like, we need better teams in this thing.
Yeah, I want a star and a half. It's what happened to the LOD? Are they coming back?
Probably not.
Doubtful.
They're just gone.
Hawk is headed with Mr. Perfect soon.
Jesus.
Boss Man and Mr. Perfect. T91 haunting backstage. We get a Sonny Siaki package now. It's set to the soundtrack of the computer game The Seventh Guest. It's this weird computer game from the 90s. It's a very obscure
Jenny's
reference.
Journey.
It's like the staff was a puppet master, and it's all this very creepy shit. Anyway, In the package, he calls his title the S Division title, which I don't know. Jenny. Does the belt look too small for Sonny Siaki?
It's quite disproportionate, yeah.
It's a bit of a small belt, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Sonny's a larger dude.
Yeah, that's true. We get a lot of moonsaults in this package. They show Amazing Red beating up Desire, and then they keep playing the clip of him saying it's the S Division title.
I think that's just how he says X, though.
S? What did you say? What does he use to say S?
Okay.
He specifically.
Well, hang on. Let's decode it because it may be like a mystery. So S equals X, how many letters is that apart? It's TUVW. So 4. So yeah. S would be what?
Well, S is X.
No. X is S.
It's oh, you're 4 going okay.
So you're going to go 4 back from S.
Mm hmm.
R-Q-P-N.
N. So N is S.
N is S. Now, what's N?
You get to go back 4.
M-L. This is hard.
Yeah.
K-J.
J.
Yeah. What's... No, all right, let's move on. So this whole thing is called Youth versus Experience. JT, was this a proper title for this match?
Sure.
Sonny being the experienced one or the youthful one? I'm confused.
Cash is experienced.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
I was excited for this. It actually has had pretty good build and character development. This to me is the part of TNA I get actually into and excited for, not the crap we've witnessed so far here tonight. But it's a good big match feel for the X title. It's a different matchup. You get Trinity out there, Desire's out there. Like, this has been one of the better things so far tonight. And
yeah. You got Borash wearing a jacket that's like 3 sizes too big for him when he's doing the. Well, Jenny, what is a smoking jacket?
It's a jacket that you wear when you smoke.
But is that
so
actually
it doesn't get on your clothes? Like, so your clothes will
smoke. Okay.
Or if it's cold outside and you need to go have a smoke.
You need to wear it. Right. JT, who is prettier, Cash or Trinity?
Cash looks too much like Kid Rock.
Right.
So probably Trinity. I also think Borash has Hennig's jacket on that he left behind with the boots.
Michael McGillicuddy also bring that to him.
My dad wanted you to have this.
To wear this and wear it tonight. But it's way too big for me. Yeah, but he wanted it. So a big match intros. Siaki's drawing some good heat. And like JT, you were saying, Wes says this one's been in the making for months. I'm so happy Tanae doesn't jump in and go, no, it's been days. Really happy about that. And I think early on in the match, it's a nice contest of Siaki's power versus Cash's speed.
Yeah.
And hard-hitting analysis from Mike Tenay. You can't hit Hurricane Ronas if you're getting hit by clotheslines. Is that true?
Technically, but you could do it after.
Right. Concurrently will not work.
No.
Yeah. Siaki dodges a move, and then Tenay says, you talk about preparation. I feel we haven't hit him on that for a while. One of the strippers has now made their way to ringside at this point, and Cash just throws chairs at Siaki until one hits, and he goes, I call that the smash mouth, which made me think of somebody. The women are very involved in this match. Mm-hmm. Cash gets a chair thrown in his face now, and instead of like focusing on the action, like, and telling us what's going on, the announcers are all in telling us Trinity is one of the stunt doubles for Daredevil.
Yes,
well, that's Jennifer Garner. Interesting antidote. So,
and a what? It's an not. Antidote? That's not the word.
What is the word?
It's definitely not antidote.
No one help her. What is it?
It's a vaccine. That's it. It's a poison.
So that's the poison.
Yes, that's not an antidote. That's causing the COVID. I read about it.
But I did hear a great anecdote from Nicki Minaj. That's what.
It's causing the disease that's been here for a year and a half.
Yeah. You know, the Wakandans cause the disease. New World Order.
Cleveland, Trinity, and Jennifer Garner get together. That's where COVID came from.
You know, and Ben Affleck is a lizard folk. And, you know, the Wakandans have a metal that lies in the earth called vibranium, and they use it for technologies. So, where the hell was I?
Desired Trinity get into it.
Yeah. Ton of cheating. Ton of cheating by Siaki and Desire, but the ref just isn't looking. Jenny, how do you think a referee disciplinary meeting goes backstage?
I don't think they have those meetings.
Not with the bullet gone, anyway.
JJ don't got time for that shit.
Nice spot where Cash went for the springboard dropkick, but Desire pulls him like mid-bounce. I thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was nice.
Hard bump, too, on that Siaki T-bone on Cash. He dropped him right on his head.
Right on the Jesus cross in the back of his neck. Mm-hmm. Women jump in and get involved again. Then Cash climbs. There's when he climbs the ropes next to Desire. JT, is it a stupid move to climb the ropes next to someone who has been involved in every part of the match?
Rob, you might want to go on the other side, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Siaki fucking clotheslines the shit out of Trinity. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then Siaki tries a superplex, but gets knocked down. Then Cash does a moonsault, lands on his own neck.
That was super scary.
Jesus.
Yeah. But Jesus was on his neck also.
Yeah, it was.
But he still pinned Siaki. And Jenny, was this the time for a new champ?
It was for me, because I've been ready for Cash to be champ for a little bit. And Sonny, I mean, I know you guys are kind of like on with him. I like him with the girl, but like, I don't know. I feel like he's kind of stale a little bit, and I'm ready for Cash and a new champ. So I was excited for this.
Yeah, I think the belt helped Siaki grow. Like, mm-hmm. He kind of needed it to stabilize, but Cash deserves it for sure. I mean, he's been my favorite X guy for a while. I think they needed to pay him off at some point, like the build that they put into it, and give him the belt. And again, I like that we're continuing to move further away from the originals who've kind of moved up the card and let these other guys have a shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the match too. I thought it was fine. Good match, decent action. I went 3 stars.
Same for me.
Yeah, no, 3 for me as well. It was a simple. It was fun. It hit the beats it needed to hit. Really cruised along. Get a little fuck shit in there, but not too much. A couple of big bumps. It was hard fought. Cash is deserving, even with the scary finish. I thought Siaki held up his end too in this match. It wasn't just Cash carrying him.
No, it was fine. It was good. Mike Tenay now looks directly into the camera. And at this point, I find he looks like a skeleton that someone has pulled skin over. Like if you were in a haunted house. Yeah, like if you showed up to be in your haunted house, you would need no makeup. Be like, all right, right over there, Mike. Right near the cauldron. Like, just standing there, we'll put the light on you. It's the god eyes. Like it's... What's wrong with his head? Anyway, there's so much going on.
He's
like
old.
That's where they make their potions.
No antidotes.
Yeah. So we have a debut of a new segment, and I believe when I saw this segment, I wrote both of you in a rage. Yes. It's called The Interrogation.
The Interrogators.
At first they're like, it's called The Interrogation. And then
that's wrong. It's just The Interrogators. Yeah.
That's it. They show a shot of West and Tanae acting tough, and the graphic says Interrogators.
It's great. JT, they're wearing like leather coats.
Yeah. Why didn't they get Kurgan for this?
Or Recon Sniper went out all
the Jackal. It's just an interview segment, right?
It's an aggressive interview segment.
Yeah. Tell me something right now. who are they interviewing here?
R-Truth.
It's Truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah.
Nothing of note is really said, right?
No, they just like do some rapid fire questions and he just like responds sassily.
Right.
And then he eventually just says, fuck you.
Yeah, and then he gets out.
Leaves. So, and
yeah,
they
just, after if Truth asked Russo to join sex, and the Truth says, fuck you.
Yeah. Now, listen, they do a quick answer segment under a blue light, right? So now here's here's your interrogation, guys. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Jenny, do you know what blue light is used for in the theater?
No.
Nighttime. JT, if you are walking towards the audience, which stage position are you in?
Left.
Downstage. Jenny, what did Shakespeare leave his wife Anne Hathaway in his will?
His semen.
Close, his second best bed. JT, who is in charge of a theatrical production on the night of a show?
The director.
No, stage manager. Jenny, what does Romeo, Romeo, wherefore art thou Romeo mean?
It means where you at, bitch.
Says, why are you Romeo? JT, who rapes Blanche in the classic Tennessee Williams play A Streetcar Named Desire?
Gorilla Monsoon.
Exactly. Finally, we got one right. You have been interrogated.
Oh, boy.
So they do some questions. One of the questions they do ask Truth is, which tag team partner is your best with? And he says BG James, but then a second later calls him a traitor.
Well, I mean, both things can be true.
Right? Yeah, that could be his best partner. He hasn't had one since, and he was a traitor.
Yeah.
I guess. Also, Vince McMahon is an asshole.
Naturally.
Also true.
Jenny, is this segment a winner?
It's funny, but very dumb.
I like it.
Yes.
I like it. I like it because, well, the graphic is awesome, but like it because it's only 60 seconds. And, yeah. And, like, they're good at it. I don't know. Like, one of my favorite pieces of TNA have been the TNA sit-downs. Like, those have been good consistently. So, I don't know. I think it's actually a pretty good touch to do something like this. It doesn't take a lot of time or investment. It's easy.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you see it getting old?
Yeah.
I don't know. They get a lot of guys to talk to. I would take this over much of the other shit we see. So now, like, if we get a minute and a half or 2 minutes of the show on this instead of something stupid, I'll take it.
It's like the mini TNA version of like Pulp Fiction from ECW. Yes. So I don't know. They get a lot of info across in like, you know, a minute, and you know, it's fine. I'm sure they'll drop this very soon, and it will never continue again. So
right, they have a lot of guys that they could talk to, but they don't have a lot of guys that we want to hear from.
True.
You want to hear from Glenn Gilberti?
Well, you're going to, because now Goldie's with Mike Sanders and Glenn Gilberti.
Awesome.
And Sanders, like, he wants to use his titles? Or does he say titties?
The whole thing is stupid. Like, yeah, because he shits on Goldie. But, he they're worth anything. Like, they're talking down to her. Mm-hmm. She says, you could be Ku Klux Ann in his movie that he's going to make. Apparently with the Harris brothers, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I will say, did Ku Klux Ann crack either of you?
A little bit.
it's funny.
And then BG James comes in with his stupid bullshit. Just such an unlikable bunch. And he goes, you take Elvis, you take the black guy, I'll take Limp Bizkit. Like, fuck off.
Oh, my God.
It's an awful piece of garbage. Just not even a piece of garbage. It's a bag of garbage.
Yeah. I will say, Disco made me laugh too when he said, because they're talking about the characters they could make, and he goes, you can make an evil architect called Bill Ding. And that popped me too. Like,
I mean, when Gilberti is like the most tolerable of your group, you know you got a fucking problem.
Yeah. True. Yeah, like I mean, JT, could they be more annoying, this group of people? Like, but it's not good annoying, right?
No, it's awful. It really is awful. And it sucks too, because Sanders might be my most disappointing person in TNA right now. Like, I liked him in WCW. I thought he had potential, but he has just been awful in TNA. He's not funny. He tries too hard. He sucks in the ring. Like, just, yeah.
And he's on TV too much.
Yes, also, he's on.
Yeah, like, he's, he might be the most overexposed. Him and BG are just so overexposed.
Right.
I mean, I guess a lot of them. And it's weird because, like, it feels like there's guys that aren't on TV every week, and the guys that are on TV every week are the guys we don't want to see.
Right.
Imagine that.
Yeah, right.
Also, I have a note here that says, Aaron, have you ever posed for a calendar?
So, 1 year for, so I have a, we have a tradition at my house. And if you guys are ever around during Christmas time, you are welcome to it. So one of the things we do every year is we get together with our friends and we do a Secret Santa, but the goal is to give the worst possible gift. To the other person.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 year I made an erotic calendar for that was my gift.
Now, did you make the calendar or did you order it through like
were
a couple?
Were you in the calendar?
Oh, no. It was pictures of me.
Okay.
Right. But did you physically make the calendar or did you like submit the pictures and like order the calendar? I'm just wondering if some poor bastard had to put that thing together.
Oh no, someone had to put it. Someone had to look at a picture of me naked holding my cat covering my groin.
That makes me so happy.
That's not even the best one. So that one was pretty good. I gave a 1 year I gave this thing called Hairy Christmas. It was the words Hairy Christmas in a frame, but it was all my hair. It was from my head. I didn't use my finger. But then the next year, I painted a Christmas tree using only my penis and balls. And you can see the divots in the balls.
Oh, no. Not the divots.
And it's funny because the one guy kept getting them all every year. Because I would – no one – so, yeah. So we had this bag with the Star of David on it that, like, kept coming back every year. And so we would avoid it like the fucking plague because they knew it was for me. Anyway, so if you're ever around during Christmas, come to our awesome holiday.
Yeah.
But yes, I have posed for a calendar. Have you?
Not that I'm aware of, but there's a lot of public pictures of me. So
I had a girlfriend once make me a porn calendar.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah.
Was that a good gift?
Yeah, but then I kept thinking, like, who's the fucking scuzzy guy
taking the pictures? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I could have taken those pictures. Like, and then when we broke up, she's like, can I please have that back?
Oh, really? Did you give it back?
Yeah, I gave it back.
Really? You should have burned it.
Why? She's look, if I was
fuck gonna, her. I, fuck know, her. That's why.
I did. Anyway, so we're way off topic here.
Not I don't always. Know where we are.
So we're at a 6-man tag. And it's the fucking idiot crew who's fighting
the
Elvis
other idiot crew.
The black guy in Limp Bizkit. So it's Jorge, not dressed like Elvis because they took his suit. Instead, he's like dressed like a jacked up Norman Smiley. And
but yeah, I will say this. Limp Bizkit is kind of funny.
Yeah, it is kind of funny.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It cost you a lot to say that, didn't it?
Have you seen the new concert with Limp Bizkit from like a month ago?
No.
It's all like the picture of like Fred Durst.
Fred Durst like looks like a 50-year-old man.
He is, ain't he?
I know, but usually they don't look that way still. You know, like he's wearing like a golf jacket and like glasses and he's singing about fucking Nookie. So everything feels a little off. All right. So. BG James's music now has the get it, got it good at the start. Maybe he had it before. It just made me angry.
Get it, go away for good.
Got it. The sex faction here looks like the most burnt out old timers at an indie show.
Yeah.
Like they just look so tired. And Truth starts by getting beaten up by his dream tag team partner, BG James. And they're really selling Jorge in the new gear because his costume was taken. Guys, why is Mike Sanders wearing so much white?
Because he's a virgin.
He's trying to just make the Harris brothers happy. James calls a fan a F word to Big Pops. He's just the worst.
He's such a piece of shit. Like, the gift, Gilberti could do nothing but kick and stomp. Also, Estrada has like a weird tramp stamp that I was not expecting.
Does he?
Yeah, it just doesn't fit at all. Like,
oh, I see. Yeah.
Maybe you got that after a Blue Christmas.
And before I can ready what the tramp stamp says, he misses a frog splash by like a mile.
Mm-hmm. This is Jailhouse Rock.
Sanders. Oh, no. Fucking hound dogs. All right. Sanders does some kind of dance before he drops a knee. JT, could you describe it?
Yeah, it was stupid.
Also, B2 James stands right in front of it so we can't see him. And they do all this about putting him over as a major veteran. And the match, this match is so interesting that they talk about Bob Armstrong, of all people.
The bullet.
Disco does a dance before the elbow, and they have the fucking balls to call it the people's elbow. Mm-hmm. Like, Jenny, what is the point of this match?
I think it's to make the one-legged guy look fun.
No, so BG James could be a dick because he is a dick and bully Zach Gowen. That's why.
Or that.
I'm a heel, so I'm going to go out there and beat up this guy and be a prick, even though he just wanted to be.
Yeah. And then he'll make a reference to a fucking Yul Brynner reference, some shit like that. Zach Gowen has such a weird bumping style. It looks like he's trying to lose the use of his other leg. Like, don't bump on your neck. Bump on your back. You're gonna paralyze yourself. BG James just beats up Zach Gowen's leg. Then Scott Arm, like, now a referee is coming down and distracting his brother. And why are referees coming down and interfering in matches? Can we at least have a ruling that says he's suspended or something?
Yeah, JJ Dillon, what are you doing?
Yeah, Sanders
asleep at the fucking wheel. Reading that as stupid usual. Newspaper.
Fell asleep with his arms crossed. You can see him in a chair backstage. He's one of those guys, arms crossed on the belly, head down, sleeping. Yep. Like your uncle at Christmas.
He's at a fucking pancake breakfast at the GMW.
Yeah, he ate way too much. Sanders struggles to take a backdrop. Truth pins Sanders. JT, what's the point?
Whatever. The match itself was all right. I thought Estrada and Z looked the best. Good way to give them a win, too. A clean win. Sometimes you just need a good feel-good, clean win. And that's what we get here. 2.25. But BJ's trash.
Jenny, is this a massive win for tradition?
Yeah. The traditional one-legged dude. Massive win. I gave it 2 stars. I mean, it was all right, but mostly a time waster.
Yeah, I'm at 2 also. What's shocking to me is there is no post-match beating after this match. Yeah,
that was very weird.
Like, when that's the shock, you know, they go to it too much. Mm-hmm. Goldie in the back, she's with Raven, and they don't count them in or anything, so they're just kind of chilling, like chit-chatting, and then, it's the We're Live Pal moment of TNA. Mm-hmm. And Raven calls back to the Sandman's ECW angle. Now, I do like that they're building upon something that started in another promotion.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They did that bit, though.
Should they give a bit more context for something that happened like 5 years ago, though?
Well, a lot of wrestling fans and promotions just like expect you to know what the fuck's going on. So they don't bother doing that. Mm. I have found.
Right away, they're like, what's going on? Styles is attacking him and metal falls on Raven's head out of nowhere. I don't know where this metal came from, but it just fell. And then we're about to cut away. But then Goldie's like, hey, come here. And like she's an invested, like she's fucking Geraldo Rivera about to open Al Capone's tomb. And the Rock and Roll Express are tied up with masks on their head.
Jenny, what?
Yeah, they're tied hoods. Up and they have hoods. That's it, hoods. Jenny, they were sexually assaulted first, right?
Oh, yeah. Then they're going to get tied to the train tracks.
And someone took the Harris Brothers hoods and put them on them.
Yeah.
That's Mike Sanders' tights on their head. We don't dwell on this at all. We just really cut away to Tanay interviewing David Flair. Tanay is still in his interrogator costume. JT, can you please describe to me what on earth David Flair was wearing?
I don't know.
It's like a sweatsuit with like a beanie.
It's stupid is what it is.
It's definitely stupid. What is on the papers that Tanay has for these interviews? Because he doesn't look at them ever.
Nudes of West, obviously.
the calendar Don West made for
him. Yes, the calendar.
That he's going to want back. Jenny, why is Mike Tanay's face so fat?
He's a fat shit.
He's a high stall diet.
A high squirrel diet. Snake that he is. You notice you don't see too many dead squirrels, so someone's eating them. So he wants, Tanay wants a gut reaction for each name he says to David. So he goes, Arn Anderson. And he goes, he's been close his whole life. He was always around in the summer. When his dad wasn't. Then he goes, Russo, gave him his first shot, tried to change WCW. Then David's like, I'm still learning. I'm happy to be given a second chance. You know, he goes, I'm happy to be given another second chance.
Yes, multiple second chances.
Can you be given another second chance?
Sure.
It's not a third
chance. Probably called a third chance, yes. But technically, it's another second as well.
I guess. Flares have unlimited chances.
I guess. Well, David Flares anyway. Then they bring up Stacy. And he goes, I don't know which head was working, if you catch my drift. And then Mike fucking deadpans. I think I understand.
He does not understand, Aaron. Yeah.
What do you think of this calendar of Don West? What do you think of the divots on his balls? Then he brings up Ric Flair. And David goes, wait, you're a mark. You should know more. Rick worked 365 days a year. Rick worked 365 days a year, right? So I guess he took leap years off. Mm. Does that make Ric Flair a fucking pussy, JT?
Well, maybe he celebrates leap day.
Maybe. And then Mike goes, let's play devil's advocate. He was on the road 52 weeks a year.
Wait, what?
That's what he says to him. Jenny, why is Mike Tanay? What is Tanay trying to say here?
That he obviously hates his son and works to stay away from him.
He's clearly just trying to fuck with his head.
And Tanay's like, he was providing for your family. Then David talks about his dad not being around, but Tanay gives like no shits. Like
Ric Flair. What the fuck do you want?
Yeah, like you're lucky he's your father and you're lucky he abandoned you.
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
And then David's like, I love people cheering and yelling for me. When has that ever happened?
Zero times.
Never.
Yeah, David then shits on the wrestling business, and he's only 23 here, and he's got a weird red spot on his face.
Yeah,
he's always red.
Yeah,
always red.
Rosacea.
Rosacea?
I feel like, yeah.
Tanay is like, what's in the sack? That's the mystery that we've been dealing with. And Flair goes, you'll know when I want you to know. Jenny, are we any closer to finding out what's in that fucking bag?
I think it's divots. Divots. Ball divots.
I feel like we're at least like getting some character. Like these continue to me to be like the strength of TNA with some of this stuff. Like they sit down interviews, they feel a little bit real. Like whatever David is saying, at least you feel like he probably believes most of it. So
right,
and today probably does as well. So it's works for both of them.
Was JT though? Was no one else available for this interview that they had to use David Flair?
Well, it's about his storyline. What else are they gonna talk to?
Well, they could make another storyline with a competent wrestler.
What? At least he's well-spoken-ish.
Yeah. He's not just wooing every 2 seconds like his fucking degenerate father. Woo! So, Loki comes out now to music that would surely get him canceled today. And there's a surprise by Dylan. Goldie goes, it's a pleasant surprise. Steve Corino!
Yay!
Yay!
And he goes, you hang around Vince Russo and your sex group. And then Carino's then like, look into my eyes because all the legends are with him. JT, didn't he make a career out of beating up legends?
Yes, but now he is the legend. He's old school.
Right.
Well, no, but he was always the king of old school. So that's.
I guess. Yeah. I guess. Goldie wishes him luck in his career. He comes out to Abyss's music. He's got some sort of fucking storm pattern on his ass. Jenny, what do you think Steve Corino's hair smells like?
Ass and cigarettes.
Piss. Ugh. Gross.
You know what's funny? You look at Steve Corino and you say, we made this guy do a podcast with Dan McGinn.
And then got mad at him when he quit.
Like, I mean, you know, I'm watching TNA Wrestling, worldwide pay-per-view. Out comes a guy who's known around the world, and we had him doing a podcast with Dan McGinn.
Wow.
Do you think they ever went to, like, one of those free libraries together?
Possible.
We're recording from the free library today. Corino throwing some old-school punches, but they're nice punches, though. Then low-key drop toe holds Scott Armstrong into Corino. JT, why wasn't Scott Armstrong knocked unconscious by this?
Well, he was a former wrestler, so.
Okay. Of course, all they do in the match is talk about – they have a guy debuting against Low-Key, and all they talk about is Vince Russo. Low-Key, to me, is so crisp. He should be the world champion.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. they also try to retcon Corino into being a guy who respected Dusty Rhodes. That feels off, too, right?
Yeah, they did feud, but I don't remember how it ended, honestly, or if they ever came back together. You know what I mean? Like a respecting.
Mm.
It's possible somewhere in there.
I also was not expecting the Hulk up to be part of Karina's old school persona.
Well, I mean, it's an old school thing, so.
I guess. Six people clap for Corino, and Wes declares the crowd loves him. JT, who had a better
career? Because Corino's great.
Yeah, it's great. JT, who had a better career, Steve Corino or Dolph Ziggler?
I mean, I guess Dolph, but.
Yeah, probably made more money. Corino hits a neck breaker and low-key kicks out at two, but he hits Armstrong in the eye, so like as he kicks out, so Armstrong DQs him. Jenny, with everything we've seen in this promotion and all the cheating and everything, how is this the DQ?
I have no idea. I don't think I've ever seen that before in any match. And this is my first Steve Corino match, too. So was not ready for that finish.
Like earlier in the match, he hit him with a drop toe hold.
Mm-hmm.
And now the poke in the eye is the DQ. JT, are you tired of Scott Armstrong as a character on this show?
All the Armstrongs. They can all go.
Yeah. I wish Brad Armstrong was there, though, wrestling. That'd be fine. I could live with that.
Correct, man.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a mess, right? Like, it's not a bad match, but, like, it feels like as soon as they have something good going, they give a dumb finish like this to it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm a
thinker. Yeah, it was real stupid. Yeah, it was fun. I hope Corino stays around, because I really do like him. He's good in this setting. It felt like a cohesive fight. He's perfect fit for the angle as a king of old school. Give me a clean finish and we're better here. But I went 3 as well. I hope he stays around because I really like Corino.
Yeah,
I liked what I saw as well. I went 3 stars.
Yeah, and West is like, low-key robbed Corino of the victory. But Corino won the match.
Right.
By DQ.
He wanted to beat him.
I guess. Yeah. They fight to the back, and then America's Most Wanted just run out and attacks low-key. Now the church are running after low-key. Key runs into the dressing room, so now we got two guys hiding in the dressing room tonight. And then we get a stare down between the church and America's Most Wanted, which Tanay declares as mutual respect. I don't know. It didn't look that respectful. As they say that, Goldilocks is standing with Jerry Lynn. And this is actually – I had to take a break from the show. For like – when I was watching this, I took like a 3-day break.
Ah, 3 days.
To watch the rest of it. I was like – I saw Jerry Lynn about to talk, and I was like, I just need some time to prepare.
Well, that's, you know, harsh. Goldie.
That's harsh.
Yeah, I know. Then Lynn has some very interesting news about himself. He's requested the time. He wants to put over Vince Russo. He's got him out of focus. He's like, you know, this used to be the company where I'd fight AJ Styles every single night. Great. I'm kind of happy we moved on. He's a wrestler, and he's figured out how to fight Vince Russo. To reestablish the X division. JT, is that going to stick it to Vince Russo?
Yeah, because Russo hates, I don't know. Does he hate the X division or like it? I can't keep track.
Well, he actively had one of his guys go after the title.
Right. And he was all about like the young youth movement.
Yeah, and these are all the young guys.
Yeah. It's very confusing.
Right. So we're going right into an 8-man elimination match, and the winner becomes the number one contender. Shark Boy with the shark head as a penis sticking out of his pants. The SATs are next. It's Jose. West calls him Estrada. I guess is that his last name?
Yes.
David Young is back. Jenny, where is Bobcat? Or as I wrote in my notes, Bibcat for some reason.
She's tied up in the dungeon.
Oh my God. She's tied up on the tracks with the rock and roll.
She is. Right.
Mama Luke is back. He's stolen Rob Van Dam's hair. And then Jimmy Rave introduces Paul London.
Mm-hmm.
And JT, are you excited to see Paul London?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Why? Who is Paul London?
You're about to find out, Jenny.
All right.
Lynn is last. And so the announcers, like, so Paul London debuts, and the announcers are like, we're going to talk more about him in a minute. But then immediately they start talking about Vince Russo again.
Well, we got to get an update.
Yeah. And then West introduces the rules. They're all around the ring. It's basically a gauntlet. Jenny, why are all the sharks on Shark Boy's tights so unhappy?
Because they want to be inside Shark Boy and not just on his tights.
Or they're being held captive.
And they can't breathe because there's no water.
Are his tights like the negative zone from the old Superman movies?
Yes.
Where the Kryptonians get locked inside and float through space? He did that to living sharks for some reason?
He's badass.
I'm going to put some sharks in my pants. All right. Shark Boy eliminates Jose with a DSD, a deep sea driver. Or is it a Dead Sea driver? I don't know. It could be one or the other. Another DSD puts away the other SAT. There's too many fucking acronyms at this point. And then Sharkboy is trying a lot of cool offense early. Mm-hmm. It's almost too bad this is like so much of a sprint because I'd like to see more. Then he tries the DSD on Rave. Then Rave does something. I didn't know what it was. Mm-hmm. JT, are there guys in this match that should be taken less seriously than others?
I don't know. I like to look at the X Division as all like one big unit. Like, I feel like since we've gotten past like Key and Daniels and Styles, I like to think everyone's pretty much on an even playing field. I guess Lynn stands out, but that's about it.
Right. Oh, Mama Luke's in next. He has women's hair. Everyone just does one move and is done. Jenny, does a match like this help us reestablish the division like Jerry Lynn wants?
I feel like it does. I mean, it shows them all off a little bit. They all get a little bit of shine. And I don't know. I thought it was pretty fun.
Yeah. David Young comes in. He's the heavy of the division. Mike Tenay declares he has a new focus. JT, was that focus cheeseburgers?
In paradise.
Mama Luke destroys. Roy's leg locks the leg in a bar. Young screams like he's giving birth. Jenny, when you were giving birth, were you screaming like that? Were you like, no, no?
No, no, for me, luckily, they just had to cut me open. So I didn't have to scream at all. So I didn't feel anything.
Wow.
Did you
cut open your back or your stomach?
It was in the stomach. That's where I had the baby, you know, in the front. Not the back baby.
They didn't go from the back?
Mm-mm.
Because you know what they say about back babies.
What do they say?
I thought you'd know. They're telling the story of his knee giving out, but they're also trying to do it all in 2 minutes. Then Young hits a spine buster using that knee, but gets the win. Young with some nice power moves, all while selling the knee, sort of. Young starts to motion that he's going to the top, but he's hurt. Moonsault lands right on the knee. Then Tanae's like, that's gutsy. JT, is that gutsy, or would you describe it as something else?
I would just say it's a move that he executed.
It was a gutsy move, sir.
Young finally taps to an STF, and we finally get the debut of London. Mama Luke helps David Young to the back. I can't believe he didn't turn on him. JT, do you think Paul London looks almost Asian?
I mean, there may be a touch in there.
I think it's the hair. I think he has a very Asian style hair. Are we treading on thin ice here or something?
A little bit racist.
No, but like, but different people have different hair quality, right? Am I insane to think that?
I mean, I thought London was real smooth in here overall. Today talks up his time in Ring of Honor, which I thought was cool.
Yep.
But Lynn's focusing on point. But London gets a shout out. I thought that was a really good stretch. And a really good near fall when London needs knees on the Shooting Star Press.
Yeah, they do a bit of a ground-based match at the start, which I don't know is necessarily the right choice. And Lynn and London, they really start acting exhausted too, even though they've only been in there for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
See, do anything you feel like, as much as the X Division's great, so much of it just kind of blends together. Like, do you remember a lot of particular X Division moments?
No, just like kind of maybe the title changes.
Yeah. Like, do you think maybe it's the lack of diversity in the characters? And I know that sounds weird coming off my hair comment earlier, but that's not what I meant by it.
Well, like Justin said, like, he thinks of it all like the same guy, really. Like, you know, this is the same, like, group, basically.
Like,
so they
Phil
are,
Division?
Yeah, they're like, it feels like, you know, sort of the same dude.
I just think it's, like, the same group of guys that they rotate around and have similar matches week after week.
Yeah. As we near the end of this match, it occurs to me that the promised talk about all the guys in the match has never happened.
No.
We just talked about Vince Russo. London climbs the ropes like a cat. Do you think he'll fall to his death like a cat?
Only if he's kicked.
But he'll have 8 more times to do it.
Yeah, it's get a few more chances. London hits the cradle pile driver for the 3 and the win. JT, was this a good showcase for London?
Yeah, I thought it was really good for London at the end. It's his debut. These guys have been around for a while, and he outlasted them all, or, you know, he got the last slot and goes toe-to-toe with Lynn. So I thought it looked really good.
Do you think maybe he should have come into the match a bit earlier?
Maybe. Yeah, maybe he could have made a run. But I'm fine here because they give him shine with Lynn. So
right.
He gets that time to show off. I thought it was really fun. I thought the back and forth was good. I thought everyone looked really good here, actually. And the final stretch for Lynn and London was clean as fuck. Like, they both looked like stars there. So I went 3.25. I thought London came off really, really strong.
Jenny, everyone comes out to congratulate Lynn. Do you think they all actually respect him?
Of course they do. I mean, he's like the daddy, basically, of the X Division.
Right. He's like the Fabulous Moolah of the X Division.
I didn't say that.
I'm saying it. I'm at 2.75 stars. I found that there was a bit too much slow parts and there's a bit too much one and done. So I didn't hate it or anything, but I kind of was left wanting more.
I don't know. I'm just kind of going to be all in on an X Division match, like, especially with dudes that are like putting it in, like, they were all working hard and I thought it was interesting matchups, and I went 3.5 stars. And Jerry Lynn won, so there you go.
So that makes you happy. London is up now and fine after taking a move that should break your neck. Conan comes down to break up the celebration. Conan's like, you used to be Mr. JL. And Conan is pissed that Lynn wants to reestablish the X Division, and it's not his to reestablish. And Lynn says he's the only one who could make the Mexicans look good.
Well, he says the only American that can do it.
Why can't the Mexicans make themselves look good?
Oh, he's not saying they can't, but he's saying of all the Americans, he's the only one that can do it.
Like, hang with them, you mean?
Yeah, basically, I think is what he's trying to say.
Okay, he just said it wrong.
He's the only one that can of all the Americans, he's the only one that is, like, seamless with the Mexicans.
I feel like little Guido did a good job.
Lil.
Lynn then calls Conan bitter and jealous because he's not a high flyer. What he does is power up and kick dust. And then we go Jorjale Muchachos and the SATs have joined Conan. But I will say I like this pairing a lot.
Yeah, me too.
JT, who's a bigger star overall in wrestling, Conan or Jerry Lynn?
Oh, Conan. That's a great question.
It's Conan.
Conan has a podcast. Not sure if you know that.
Is it good? Did you listen to it?
It's not good, no.
Why? Does he say Jorjale Muchachos a lot?
He does. It's the whole time.
It's just the whole thing. Jenny, who's a bigger star overall? The women of Teen Mom or the douchebags from the Jersey Shore?
The douchebags from the Jersey Shore.
Yeah. And then Conan runs into Russo. He goes, me and you go way back. Russo's like, what side are you on? And then Conan's like, I don't have to tell you shit. And that's the end of the segment. Like, whole lot of nothing. And then Goldie's now with Estrada in the back. He goes, since day one, he was the glue that kept the flying Elvises together. Right, Jenny. Like, they were bickering the entire time.
How are we still talking about this?
About them, yeah.
Like, he's the only one that cares.
He cannot get over it.
Yeah, like, they hated each other. Jimmy Yang is never there. Like, what kind of fucked up glue is Estrada? Like, was he made out of, like, a sick horse? Like, was it, like... Like, a horse had AIDS for, like, 2 years and then died, so, like, the glue... So now he's gonna fly... Is that if your horses get AIDS, right? It's
sure.
They have an immune system, right? It can be attacked by a virus. God, nobody even cares about AIDS. See, we're so blasé with diseases now. We can just talk about AIDS. Like,
no. It's crazy.
He's going to fly solo. And now Truth kind of runs in and goes, I hope I've answered everybody's questions. From now on, no more questions. Guys, who was asking him a question?
The interrogators.
Yes. But this was like 45 minutes ago in the show.
Well, he's still saying it.
Was, yeah, it's
I mean, they could have recorded this around the same time.
I guess. Goldie chases him into the parking lot. JT, did you poop when she said, oh, Christ, what is this?
No, I got hard.
That must have been pop that I hit O too many times in the notes. Why would I say that? It doesn't make any sense. All right. So what she's referring to is Sanders and Gilberti holding their backs.
I like how we didn't even question it.
I feel like a fucking Ron Burgundy reading the teleprompter. I'm just going to say whatever's here. But it's been so long since I've watched the show that I don't even – no. I hope I've given some context as to what's going on. Anyway,
I'm sorry.
Sanders and Gilberti are holding their backs. They're still in their gear. She demands to know what happens, and we just cut away. And then, so Tanay then says the dumbest thing I think we've ever heard. He goes, Don, let's try and react to what has happened. What kind of a human being starts a conversation like that? Just start talking about it, and we'll get it. Like, the dude is fucking barely coherent. How does he have a career that's based around him talking? And where are Don West's shiny shirts? They're going to pump us up for next week. AJ and Double J, almost 2 months in the making. They treat that like it's a long time, which I guess it is for them. Then Raven comes out to some fucking water music. He's got, like, fate written across his chest.
No, 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 no.
When you make love, do you look in the mirror? And then we get, the worst possible cover of Enter Sandman. I guess I forgot. I wrote the note earlier when I took that 3-day break. comes out for the entrance. And I don't understand why Sandman comes out from the entrance. Wasn't he in the crowd before?
Yes, that's where he should be.
And then where the fuck is J.J. Dillon? He shows up to lay down the law, and then he just disappears.
He's done. I guarantee we never see him again.
Yeah, agreed.
He just brought the Sandman and then was like, well, I've done my job here. How shitty must it be to wrestle the Sandman with all the smells?
Hey, now.
Like,
show some respect.
Smokes, beer, coffee, probably cum. Like, there's probably just a plethora of smells. Raven jumps him and he tries to drink. It's false count anywhere, so I don't have high hopes for this shit. Mm-hmm. Sandman, for some reason, throws a guardrail into the ring.
And yeah, because he's hardcore, motherfucker.
And then he drop toe holds Raven onto the guardrail.
Yeah, he does.
How is this tradition?
It's traditional hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, right. Raven is cut open. They fight. I'm just like... I keep checking. This is at so to give some insight. This is the point of the watch where I'm just looking at the time, like constantly. Like, okay, okay, how much? 2 minutes? Okay, I can do it. Sandman's bleeding. Whose blood is more toxic, guys? Raven or Sandman?
Sandman.
Raven.
Well, either way, they're definitely blood brothers by this point, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Or Eskimo brothers.
Yeah. That. Raven fishhooks him. I wouldn't want his fingers in my mouth.
No.
JT, would you rather have Raven's fingers or divots in your mouth?
Divots are probably cleaner.
That's what I thought. I thought that they'd be cleaner. Low-key interrupts, interferes in the match, throws Sandman off a balcony, and Raven pins him. JT, is this the laziest possible ending?
Yeah, I really wanted to like this and get into it. You know, Raven's fucking bleeding a gusher, but it just felt more sad than good at this point. Like,
right.
The crowd didn't really give a shit. Like, you know, these guys are trying to dial it up. It's like, this could be fine if we have, like, something behind it beyond just, like, vague references to old storylines in different companies over the course of one night. Like, if they had built some more heat for a match like this with the blood and the brawling, it would have been much better.
They have built heat since the fucking ECW arena, okay? Yeah. You don't need to build any heat for this. This is all the history is built into the match, so you don't have to do any of that. It's already done.
Carino's here. He saves Sandman.
But can't even breathe. Like, it's like the match ends, and, like, mm-hmm. Carino's out in a second pounding Loki. Mm-hmm. Jenny, is this the best use of Loki?
Probably not. I don't know. I don't really care that much. I like this match. I know it's probably a little disappointing, but I like the guardrail in the ring. I like the blood. I like the fucking chair shots, and this is the kind of shit I like to watch. I mean, it's not ECW quality, but still fucking fun to watch Sandman. It's amazing that the person is still fucking wrestling or walking around.
And he's actually in pretty good shape, too.
He is. He looks good. I mean, Raven's a little rough, but Sandman looks good.
I mean, they tried. They just don't have it anymore, maybe. Like, that could be the problem. And again, not a lot of hype or heat. Crowd was in and out. Feels a little gratuitous for me. It could have been cool with more to it, but as is, it just kind of is.
Yeah.
And overall, it's like the whole episode is just kind of there with some high beats with a lot of downtime. But I went 2.25 for the match.
I'm at 2. I just didn't like it.
I'm high, 2.75, but that's fine.
The high vote, 2.75.
The high vote, yes.
Dusty Rhodes doesn't show up. New Church comes out and attacks Raven. They just throw him around. Steve Corino gets leveled. What's the point of beating Sandman if he's just going to get up and be fine?
He's internally injured, so he's not fine.
He's got some mental anguish, is that what you're insinuating? Yes. The rest of the sex group comes out, and Russo hits the ring. They start laying guys out, and then Tanay goes, are they going to string him up? It doesn't feel like that comment aged that well. Mm. And then Jarrett makes the save. Double J makes the save wearing a smart-looking sweater.
Of course he does.
Tanay's like, he's responsible for the outside beatings. And then AJ saves Russo from Jarrett. Why is Jeff Jarrett wearing that sweater?
He's a nerd.
Anyway, that's it. The show ends. Guys, this was a rough one for me. What was your best segment of the show?
The interrogators.
JT, was it the interrogators for you too?
No, it was Sandman's debut.
All right, what was the worst segment?
The Gilbert, James, and Sanders.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Who do you want to see more of, guys?
Sandman, Cash, Siaki, Carino, Lynn, and London.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely more London. Less of, is it the same?
Rock same and Rolls, as it always? Harris Boys, Gilbert, Sanders, BG James, yes.
The same. 2002 Jenny would have liked.
2003 Ooh. Jenny.
Oh, God, yes, 2003 Jenny.
Oh, well, that's a whole different person. Let's go with all the blood in the main event.
2003 and me would have been sad that another legend was gone.
Yeah. 2021 sad. Me was sad when I saw that again. Anybody a wild card?
Who's next? Like all these debuts and roster turnover and TNA, it's like every week we got new guys popping in.
And right. Will Don West shirt return? You know, meet our shiny shirts.
That's true. That's true. Who is that man in the plain black shirt? Do we have any imposters? I mean, aside from Don West not wearing the shirt.
JJ is a commissioner figure.
Right.
And the LWO hint of a redux right now with Conan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Appearance tracker. Who debuted?
So let's pull it up. We have Sandman and Paul London.
Not bad. Not bad debuts. You could do worse. Before we go to over our score, JT, what's going on North South Connection Podcast Network?
Lots to check out. 5 days a week or so, we have content. A lot of it's evergreen, stuff like this. We're deep diving into past eras of wrestling. We have some non-wrestling stuff as well out there for you. And honestly, there's a lot of content I'm proud of. I'm proud of all the hosts. I'm proud of the variants we have. I'm proud of the time that's taken to both prepare and deliver the content. And it's just, it's a great feed. I, you know, ask you if you're a fan, just share it with a friend or give us a rating or review, just something like that to help us continue to build an audience.
I love how you said variants. It's very topical. Very topical. All right. Overall score. Was this show worth it?
I didn't think so. By a smidge, I went 4.5. It was a little below average.
Looks like I was at 5. For the show. So I feel like that would make it kind of just barely worth it.
I'm at a 4. It's not worth it. I had to take time off while watching it. So yeah. All right. Let's power rank our guys and get out of here.
All right. Here's our 10 from last time. I feel like we're going to have a bit of a shakeup. So we had Harrison Storm 1, Siaki 2, Styles 3, Jarrett 4, Red 5, Kid Cash 6, Raven 7, New Church 8, Triple X 9, Trinity 10. Right. So, or AMW still first, even with a shaky night.
Wait, that's episode 31. We're in episode 31 or 30.
Well, don't forget we're on 32 technically, because we had this technically those two that were episodes that we didn't do the recap and whatever else.
Right. That's what we had last time.
Yes.
I don't fucking know. I don't know.
Sounds right.
I'm out of here. Do it. You guys do it.
All right. So I don't know if I have Harrison Storm 1 anymore after this episode.
No, probably not.
But I don't know who would overtake
it. Yeah, but who could do it? Who's going to take it, right?
Cash.
Right. All the way to 1?
Yeah, why not?
Like, Red wasn't even on this episode.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like none of these guys were on this episode.
Well, maybe just leave it. Yeah.
Maybe just leave it and see who shows up next. Like, I don't think anyone's good enough to make it unless you want to put Sandman in here. But, like, no one's. Oh, do we have Lynn in here? You can maybe put Lynn back in.
Yeah. Would you want to put London?
Yeah.
Well, if we're putting London, we're putting Sandman for sure.
But who are we taking out?
Right.
Like, I'm okay bumping Trinity out. But do you want to bump out Triple X or the New Church?
No.
So then
Cash should go up at least.
Yeah.
Maybe just ahead of Red, though, because, I mean...
Right.
Unless we want to bump Jarrett down a bit.
No, he's been pretty good lately.
Yeah, he's good as the face. I'm okay with him being there.
Let's just see how next week goes. We'll keep it as is. We just moved Cash up too.
Okay.
I just think there's a lot of moving this week. Like, none of these guys did much, but none of the debuts like were strong enough besides London and Lynn. So it just depends. Let's take out Trinity and put Lynn 10. I think we should at least do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Put some respect on his name.
so glad we made it. Look how far.